Welcome back to another episode of NFT Catcher Podcast. We'd like to remind everybody that nothing on the show is meant as financial advice, and to please do your own research. Thank you, and enjoy the show.
Now the subject is NFTs.
They're known as non-fungible tokens, or NFTs.
NFTs are exploding in popularity.
This is a technology that will forever change the way people interact.
So it is happening whether you understand it and like it or not.
This phenomenon is moving the digital.
You have now joined Jenny from the blockchain and Michael Keen on the NFT Catcher Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the NFT Catcher Podcast, number 210 or something. Jenny is down in Peru, like we talked about on the one of the last couple interviews. She's there with her sister and their father in Lima, having a very nice trip. So we brought in a special guest tonight. You might know her as Melina Jubilaro. You might know her as the newest employee at Gochstein Media, but you definitely know her as Girl in the Verse. And I'm thrilled to have you back here a second time on the pod. Hope Jenny's not mad that she's not here to hang out with you. But what's up?
Hey, I'm so happy. And you got my name right, which is very rare. No, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for asking me to come on. Jenny, have so much fun in Peru. I'm kind of jealous, but no, I'm so thrilled to be here. What an exciting time in crypto right now. I'm actually happy to be home right now, this moment. Yeah. Crazy.
Unbelievable. What's going on? Everything's coming back. I mean, ETH was at 1400 in October, and now it's pushing 3500. The same with Bitcoin. Bitcoin, I mean, is astronomical. Everything's about the all-time high for that, and all these meme coins, and I'm not really crushing it with all that stuff. ETH, I'm doing very well. I have my ETH. I gotta say, I wish I had a Node Monkey, which is now pushing like I don't even know, like a Bitcoin almost. Like
it is crazy. I'm just loving the vibe on the timeline because remember what a year ago the timeline was very dark. And people were leaving and people were disappointed and just walked away from X. And then I remember kind of doing the same thing. So I'm just happy to see the timeline like happy again. Everyone's making gains. It's just been fun. It's so fun. So I'm just happy for everyone. But I've also made not a lot of money on meme coins.
Mm-hmm. So. I know. Yeah, I'm not into gambling with all these crazy things that are going on, but I should be because people are doing awesome. But there's always things happening constantly. That's something to remember in this game, that there's always a new hot thing. There's always something new to get on. There's always, you know, always things happening.
Yeah, no, everything's hot in that 1 minute. And if you miss the whitelist, you're done. So if you have a life, it's over. That's how I felt on my honeymoon.
I know.
I kept missing stuff. And I know we're going to talk about ordinals, but I just kept missing stuff. And I was like, oh, maybe this. And I just remember hearing myself FOMOing all over again. It was like 2020 all over again. And I was like, what did you learn the last time?
Yeah.
What did you learn the last time? So kind of like going back to my notes. So the FOMO is a little different now because I feel like I've learned the lessons. But yeah, I tweeted it before. I don't know anyone who's put in a lot of money in these meme coins and is now retired. I want them to reach out to me if they are those people, because I'm always like, how much money could I have put in this to retire? And it's like, I would have never done that. I would have never
put Right. I know.
Nah.
Like, did you see the move? Did you see what OSF and Mando, their portal coin move? I'm not sure exactly how much money they've been able to pull out, but they invested $250,000 into Portal Coin a while back. And when the token dropped, they were expecting it to be 100x, which would be $25 million. But I don't think they could actually pull it all. There's like some kind of vesting. Like, I didn't listen to all the details, but like, that's what they were expecting from that move. It's like,
it's just, I can't do it. I can't think about my own. Like at this point, my only move is if I'm going to put in that much money, it's going into Bitcoin, which is a complete 180 of how I used to play when I first started. Cause I was like an ETH.
I know.
It's like, I'm all about Ethereum. I love ETH. I love NFTs. ETH is the way. And now I'm buying Bitcoin. So who am I? Yeah. I don't know, but I've just changed my strategy.
Yeah. I have more ETH than Bitcoin, and that has not played out.
No,
I mean, it's doing okay, but yeah, I mean, I definitely have more ETH than Bitcoin. I mean, NFTs, really? I have like, oh yeah.
No, I don't. I mean, I don't.
I've had ETH. I've just held ETH because I mean, like, I was making ETH, you know, in the bull, and then it went down to 800-900, and I just held it the whole time, and still have a lot of ETH. Yeah, but I'm happy
place.
Now.
Different place, yeah. We'll see.
We have our ETF coming too, hopefully.
Oh, that's
exciting. The ETH ETF should be coming, right?
ETH, yeah, for sure.
You tell me, you're the journalist. You tell me.
No, you're right. I forgot about
that. I'm just kidding.
And I've been bullish about it though. I've been like, oh my god, look at ETF on ETH, like finally, like the 2020 version of Girl in the Works that was all about Ethereum. I'm excited for it. This just happened to me about a week ago. I wanted to mint a couple of NFTs, and that gas price didn't make sense to me. So I didn't mint.
I know. No, the mainnet is really difficult to use for anything other than maybe like fine art that you want to be there forever. And it's really difficult for these. It was the only thing happening in 2021. So that's why it was, you paid the gas. We were paying $100 gas on everything because everything was going up.
But I can't do that now.
No, it's crazy.
It doesn't feel right.
And now there's L2s popping up. Like, that was one of the things I even mentioned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've been looking at a lot of different ones. Even a lot of the, like, Tezos is building an ETH L2 now. And the Phantom people are building an ETH L2. Like, they're just realizing, like, why have an L1 when you can, you know, if you can't beat them, join them kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, I just... my concern is still gas fees. Like, even on Polygon, I'm like, okay, but we still have to use Ethereum. And I mean, look,
Polygon Solana. Gets a little confusing with like the Matic and having, you know, you have to move the ETH over and have a little bit of Matic.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I bashed Solana for a while. Like, not that I bashed, but I was like one of those ETH girls that was like, Solana.
Yeah.
I don't want Solana. No. I'm right. ETH girl, right? Like, I was that person. It's okay. I admit it. I like went to therapy. No.
Yeah.
Then when Solana got sexy again, you know, I started buying Solana, but that was not me in 2020, right? Like, I was not buying Solana. I was like, ETH, ETH, ETH. So now I feel like I changed my strategy. I'm just buying a bit in everything. But yeah, I still don't know, like, Sol NFTs. I feel like that's just a whole other job. Like, everything is its own job. So like, you got to pick one of them. I feel like, and Ordles, we could get into that because I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, no, there's a lot going on for sure. There's a lot going on. You're right about that. What was I going to say there? I had a thought off of your back, but I missed that. But so let's go in. Let's circle back, because I want to talk about your trip to South Africa.
Oh my God.
NFTs.
Yeah, NFTs. So we went for our honeymoon. We got married on December 31st. We got married on New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. Really nice. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really nice. At first I was like, I'm going to be a winter bride. That's weird, but it was really beautiful. So it's nice. And then we picked South Africa. We wanted to go. So we're in Canada, so it's cold. So right away it was like, where is it warm in January? So South Africa was on the list. We both had, you know, a safari on our bucket list. So we said, this is like the perfect time. Why wait till we're 65 when we can do this right now? So that's what we did. We booked a safari. We did like an adventure type of honeymoon, which was really awesome. I learned a lot too from like South Africans. Like, a lot of them, like, cash is not circulating right now. They're all using cards. You know, I've asked a few, like, why, you know, like, why no cash? And they told us specifically because they don't want to carry cash. They're scared, you know, like, they can get robbed and they don't want to be carrying a lot of money on them. And two, they said they don't trust their banks. So it's like, oh my God, this makes sense. Like, I understand this because I'm in this crypto world where, you know, blockchain. And so it just like, it sparked a lot of interesting conversations. We saw signs. Like, I think Lumo is their biggest exchange in South Africa for crypto. So, you know, they're learning and starting, you know, talking about crypto. So it's interesting to go to a country where they have these sort of, you know, political issues and whatnot, but they're utilizing this technology to potentially, hopefully, better their lives. So yeah, but it was awesome. Awesome. The food is amazing. If you want steak, you go to South Africa. I don't care where you live. Yeah, so good. So much meat. We came home. We're like, we're going to be vegetarians.
That's awesome. Did you eat any like different kind of meats, like game meats or what?
Yeah,
what kind
so
of
we
stuff
ate
you...
ostrich.
Oh,
so kudu's like a deer ish, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Ostrich, kudu. My husband had wagyu, like just a lot. And then all of them were not gamey; they were like steak.
Yeah, right.
Steak, like red, like so good. South Africa was great. Like. We stayed for a month and we were like ready to come home. So I was like, I got to go back. Like, what's going on?
You stayed for a month. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I love that.
No, you know what? We hustled hard in 2023 to be able to do this. And it was the first time in my crypto year. So like in 3 years of really disconnecting.
Yeah.
Because it's impossible.
Yeah. That's what it's all about. I've done trips like that over the years. I went to South America for 6 weeks and I've went
to
Europe a couple summers. Yeah, I love South America. I've been down there probably 5 times now, all over Venezuela, Peru, Ecuador, Colombia, Argentina, Uruguay, all
love
over the
it.
Place. Yeah.
Love it. I speak Spanish. Planet. I'm like, I gotta go to South American.
Me gusta hablar español.
Sí, muy bien.
Yeah. That's about it though. I'm not great. I can actually usually get my point across, but I probably sound horrible. And then when people speak back to me, like I can horrible, don't understand.
Yeah. But it's hard to disconnect from this world because FOMO kicks in. You feel like your friends forgot about you. Like I came home and I was like, I got to write to everyone and let them know I'm still here.
I know. You feel, people like forget about you. Your engagement goes down. It's like, thanks a lot, Twitter. Yeah, you can't leave for 2 seconds without you can't, nobody sees your posts anymore, you know? It's great.
But yeah, no, I was happy to be able to disconnect. I was like, we owe it to ourselves to just enjoy life. And look, we came home and starting, so perfect.
Yeah, it's actually really good timing. Did you know you had this new job when you went?
Yeah. So David already knew. Being the creator that I am, I did record some content for them while I was gone. So they were able to utilize that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, you know, I made sure that I didn't leave 100%.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So let's talk. Was that a job? Like, did they put out applications? Did they reach out to you? Let's talk about how this went down.
It was like a mix. So obviously I worked for different media companies in the past. At this point, I was looking for something a bit less, how can I put this? Like a bit less Web3 focused and a bit more open to talking to mainstream media. Simply because it's as a creator, right? I feel like sometimes we pigeonhole ourselves like automatically. So just coming from
trust me, our podcast is called NFT Catcher Podcast. Trust me, we're pigeonholed.
Exactly. So it's like, you know, being a creator and I have all these years of experience and I almost felt like, it's like a shame that like I'm not able to bring this to like the rest of the world type of thing. So I was looking for something a bit more mainstream-ish, or at least have access to different media organizations and not solely focus on like, let's just say NFTs. I feel like David and, you know, I feel like everyone in crypto has their own ways, but David is an interesting fella. And, he's got some great connections, great people, and he's got great visibility that I think can benefit me. And the synergies were there. I feel like we were on the same page for many different things. Like he always says, like, I don't want to be a frat house. I don't, you know, he's like, if you are serious about creating content and building these connections and meeting like real people in the industry that are pushing the needle, then let's be friends, you know? And I kind of like that sort of vibe. Yeah. So they kind of approached me, but I was also looking, I would say, like, what am I doing next? Like, how am I going to do this? Because here's the thing. Michael. We can do a lot alone, but I feel like I can do more quicker, faster with other people around. So
yeah,
hoping it works out. Yeah.
Now, when I saw that, I thought it was a really great fit. I definitely want to congratulate you. And
thanks.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I've definitely been in his spaces. I don't know if I've consumed too much of like the media content, but I'm looking forward. Like, I always love your videos. You know that.
Every time
you make videos, they're funny, they're relatable. Like whatever content you choose to do. If I could buy stock, you're going definitely.
Thank you.
Doing awesome stuff. Absolutely.
It's in the works because you're not the first person. Thank you. You know, people do. It's interesting because as a creator, you're just like, I'll just put out this content and people will like it, yeah. And, you know, whatever. But it would also be nice to get paid. It would also be nice for
of
people.
Of course.
So yeah. It's also navigating those ways and figuring out ways. So,
I know.
Yeah, and I've got big things lined up for Girl in the Verse.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You know, I was just like talking about it, I think yesterday, because although like I am the Girl in the Verse, I am hoping to bring this more of like a girly brand. I think a lot of women tried in the space and they failed simply because they were not attracting women. They were attracting big men with big pockets, which is fine. But I'm trying to bring a girlier version to that. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But I'm building a community completely off Twitter.
Oh, really? Where at?
So I'm using Geneva. It's the girl version of Discord. So just fits well. Yeah, and I'm hoping to bring in more resources for women. And I also think like having the opportunity that I've had to speak to maybe sometimes unattainable people, I think that would help bridge that gap too for women who are just starting, learning. So yeah, I'm excited to see what I, you know, I always said this, Michael, and I'll tell you this, it's a little secret, but one of my big wishes that I want to be able to achieve in the next 5 years is have my own sort of Girl in the Verse 2-day event. I don't know what that would look like, but that's sort of like how I want to approach some of this kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
And, you know, finally Bitcoin's reaching numbers where people are actually calling me and interested. So that's fun. That's like the fun part because I've been feeling like I've been trying to force people to buy into this stuff, but now I just feel like now I just get to have fun.
Yeah. Well, for the last couple of years, everybody's looking at you like, that crypto's kind of...
Yeah, I still get weird.
You weren't so
messages.
Smart, were you? I know, you weren't so smart. I actually got a message from my cousin today. I was like, we are so back. He sends me this thing, and it was like, Elon dropping the X token, like, click here. I was like, are you serious? And like, but I'm so trained. It's the second I was like, that's a scam. The second I saw it, and he sent it to me like, this is interesting. He's like, I thought you might find this interesting. Finally, like the second I saw it, I was like, that is a scam. I was like, don't click anything. Yeah.
It is crazy because even now when I work with brands, the first thing they do and they check is like my TikTok or they go check my videos. And I really think that what differentiates me from everybody else is a lot of the people you're seeing on TikTok are just telling you like, buy these 5 coins, buy this. This is going to 10X in 3 weeks. And I'm like the complete opposite. It's like, I do not want to tell you what to buy because that's.
And they tell you that after they own it. It's already loaded up in their wallet. Like 99% of the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's why too, crypto's just gotten a bad rep because people have seen a lot of crazy things online, right? So now they just don't want to. It's almost like us saying Bitcoin now, people look at it as like, oh, that scam coin just because they're so programmed.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll
see. That's what the media said for years. They're changing their tune. They're changing their tune.
It's funny, but,
But
we won't forget. We will.
I know, right. My mom even always asked, is it real money? Is it real money, though? Like, if I make money, she's like, but is it real money? It's so funny.
It took me a while to get it. Trust me, it did.
Yeah,
take
I know.
Me a while.
No, it's weird. Yeah, for sure. It's like the first time. Yep. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, but once you're in it, it's like you can't not unsee it. Like you're in it. You're kind of in a rabbit hole.
I mean, I remember looking at Crypto Slam in February 2021 and like, why are CryptoPunks selling for $15,000? I'm like, that doesn't make sense. You know, I was like, what is going on? So yeah.
My friends still talk about, oh, what about those monkey JPEGs? Like all the time. So
they're still,
they're still good. They're still good.
Yeah. It's still $60,000.
We'll talk about them.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt. No doubt. So what else is going on? Have you checked out the new Magic Eden marketplace? I think it launched probably about a week ago.
Oh, yeah, a week already? Like
Was it the 27th? If it launched on
time. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I did check it out. It looks pretty.
Yeah.
I love saying that now because in crypto, nothing was pretty like 3 years ago.
I know.
It looks good. I like that they're, it's like cross chain. So I like that there's different chains on there because that was getting hard even for people who are not in the space to be like, what, I wanted to buy this project, but is it the real one? Is it Solana? Is it ETH? Like, what is it?
So
this makes it easier, I think, for the general user. I haven't bought anything there because right now I'm not buying NFTs. We can talk about that after. But yeah, I think it's cool. I'm happy that they brought in, obviously, Ethereum. I mean, I think they needed to.
Yep. Yeah, no, they did. Cool. I mean, yep.
No, have you tried really cool. it?
And they have, yeah, I've been messing with it. I also have their cross-chain wallet now, which is very nice.
Nice.
They have their wallet.
Right.
And I want to bridge some stuff over to Bitcoin to start playing with some of that because I think in Magic Eden, I haven't found it exactly, but one of the founders responded to somebody's message. They were like, how's the easiest way to turn my soul into Bitcoin? He was like, right through Magic Eden, something. But I don't know where that message is. So I have to figure it out. But I think Magic Eden is the place to be right now. They instantly took the lead from Blur in ETH volume. And I mean, yeah, the user experience is really nice. Jenny and I had the founders on like probably over a year ago when it was just Solana and they were really like the underdogs. And it was a great interview. But what they've done since then has been insane. And then partnering with Yuga, they're in the lead right now. You know, Pac-Man took over with Blur, but I guess his Blast L1 is not going well. I haven't even followed that. But Magic Eden, I mean, they're taking over as far as NFT.
I love seeing like underdogs. I love seeing how like people who were like on the top are now finding their match or like, you know, the competition. We need that. We need more of that.
I mean, OpenSea, they dropped the ball as bad as any company that in history. I mean, they had, you know, $1 billion valuation or something, didn't they? Or 500 million or something.
I know.
Something, 10 billion? I don't even remember. Something crazy. Yeah.
It's a shame. Yeah. It's like, it's just part of the whole thing. Like I always say, the easiest thing, like an easy sell for anyone who's in the space, at least for a good 2 years, that's all you need to go tell any company right now who's in crypto, because that knowledge takes time and you can leverage that knowledge when you're applying for jobs. Like I've been in the space. I know how it works. I know who's who, right? Because it's hard and it takes a long time to study everything. So leverage all this time that you have in this space and go get work. OpenSea, I feel like they were not part of the community. They didn't listen. They didn't. It sucks.
But you know what? The one guy that was part of the community got arrested for insider trading. Nate Chastain. He was like everybody's friend. He was everybody's best friend. He was helping everybody. You know what I mean? It's like, it's crazy.
Now I know why.
Yeah. Devin Fisner. He's the CEO. We actually shared a stage at the first NFT NYC randomly. And I just, you know, he was riding high then. He was like one of the number one guys. But it's really a shame.
It's a shame, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll have to try it out. And that's the other thing too, is like, because you said the wallet. That's why I never got a Solana wallet. It's just like, oh, now I got to study this new thing. And so you're telling me with that marketplace, I can get my own wallet and have all of them?
You can get a new wallet. It's a Chrome extension like MetaMask. You'll get a seed phrase and you'll have a wallet, and it can do ordinals, it can do ETH, it can do Solana.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to play with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Magic Eden wallet. So it's and you just, you know, download it and I haven't messed with it too much, but you know.
So did you buy an ordinal yet? Because I want to get into the ordinal.
No, I have not. No, I need to bring. And we had Casey Rodimer on like super early. I really messed that up. Like I was like, it seems like it's gonna be. I just messed it up. I should have a handful of node monkeys.
I have so many questions though about ordinals, because obviously, like the easy term is to say they're like NFTs, right?
Right.
But if I go back in history with NFTs, my main concern is if, let's say, I wanted to sell this ordinal, who the hell is going to buy it? That's it. That's my question. Like,
yeah.
Because Bitcoin is expensive.
Yeah. Sometimes some of these Bitcoin NFTs will cost like, you know, 0.016 Bitcoin, which is still even a lot of money. You could change it to USD. Let's see.
And you cash out. You have to sell that NFT, right?
What do you mean you have to sell it?
Like, I mean, so let's say I have an ordinal, but now I'm like, you know what? It's time to sell.
It's time to
right?
Well, you would list it on the marketplace and hopefully there's, you know, liquidity. Hopefully there's buyers, just like.
That's what I mean. That's my worry. So with Ethereum, realistically, I have a lot of Ethereum because of the NFTs I've purchased. But until I sell them, I don't really have that ETH, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So that's how I feel. It's like, well, I'd rather just buy Bitcoin.
Oh, you'd rather. I know. That's why I haven't been buying NFTs for a long time. Also,
because
I'd rather have the crypto when it was low going up. I was like, the moment I start buying these NFTs, I'll have no crypto and it'll go to $10 million.
Exactly. Yeah. So your strategy changed. Okay. So my strategy is completely changed. And that's what I'm saying. Like, so I used to buy stuff because I'm like, I vibe with this community and
I like the hardcore support. Yeah, I know. So I know.
And then everyone leaves, like, it's just me and you here. And what do we do? Yeah, what do we do with it? What do I do with this stuff? I can't even get rid of it.
It's all the same. Every community is all the same people. You're in five other communities with them already. Yep.
So I kind of, and trust me, I wanted like a Taproot wizard. I love Udi. I'm like, Udi, whatever you tell me, I'll buy it. But I haven't bought any ordinal because there's that for me. It's that friction of like, or the PTSD of ETH NFTs. Like I can't do it. I don't know. There needs to be, and I know we keep talking about it, but like utility, but what does that look like? And
well, you know what it is right now? Everyone's just looking for airdrops. They're looking for new tokens.
Yeah.
They're looking to be allocated airdrops.
Yeah.
For a million different new tokens that are coming. That's why Pudgy Penguins went to 20 ETH because of the rumors of a token.
That's what it was.
All these things. Like Pudgy's is back down to whatever, like 17 now, and it's probably going to get back down. Yeah, it's probably going to get back down to like 12, honestly, if I had to be honest. Not because anything, like that's a gigantic floor. That's a gigantic floor if it goes down to 12 even still. It's down to 14 right now. It's down 23% in 7 days, 9% in 1 day alone. All the ETH NFTs are down, a lot of red. Little pudgies are down 15% today.
So maybe I'll get a. This is my thing. So with all this NFT stuff, because again, just 2 weeks ago, I was like, I gotta buy this NFT. I gotta. I interviewed the guy. I'm into it. I love it. Da-da. Like my husband's looking at me. He's like, this is like 2020, Melina. And it's like, I wanted to get it. Like it's gonna triple in price, and it just went down again. I checked it before. I was like, I went back to the mint price.
Yeah.
After reveal,
we're a little more grizzled this time around. We're the veterans.
But it's also because I just feel like, why am I buying this? So I can go to a party and I'm not trying to hate on anyone. These are legitimate thoughts in my head.
And now also somebody like you can go to any of these parties you want. You know, people, there's plus ones.
Yeah, but it's even beyond that. So let's be real. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
about
sure.
You.
I'm of in- course.
A million Discord channels. Like
I know. I'm down to like 20 because it's
so
ridiculous.
Okay. I didn't do a cleanup. Okay. Yeah, plus I'm starting my own sort of like Discord, right?
Yeah.
I'm in a million of them. Maybe I'm in 20. I just keep scrolling and I'm in a ton. So I'm already in a ton of Discords. I'm not an active, like, I don't actively participate. I'm not, like, choosing colors and vibes and going and GM. Like, I'm not doing that. So there's also a part of me that's, like, it's almost like a disservice. Like, I'm buying this thing, but I'm not, like, in it. Like, truthfully, I'm not in it. You know what I mean? So I feel like it's a disservice to them to have me, who's not going to do it. So there's that aspect. And then again, there's the aspect of, well, now I have this token. What can I do with it? And for a lot of, I'll be honest, 2020 Melina was like, I get this NFT, I'm going to get some free merch, I'm going to get free things. And a lot of these NFT projects can't sustain. They can't give everyone free stuff, which is understandable.
Royalties went away. Royalties. They thought they were going to get royalties. They were this was like, sweet. Yeah, they loved it.
The whole thing changed. So it's like, okay, like, I like Pudgy. I think they're cute. Fine. Do I buy one? Do I support? Is this how I support them? And then all my other thoughts are, so I can get a hoodie at a discount. Like, it's not clear to me as to why I would need to be a part. Do you get, and I'm saying Pudgy just because we just mentioned them, but
yeah, of course.
Name me any project right now. I'm not in it 100%. And that's like in everything in life, if you're not in it, if it's not a hell yes, don't do it, right? So,
of course.
So I haven't been buying any NFTs. I have not checked my wallets in at least 6 months. I'm not even going to lie. Yeah. I have not checked my wallets.
No doubt. Yeah.
Like the whole thing, like I just, NFTs, blah. Like even people ask me to do NFTs. I'm like, I don't know. Like I'm not buying them. I'm going to do one. Like I.
Right. Right. Why would, yeah.
Nothing feels kosher. I don't know. Like it didn't vibe with me, but I do feel like I'm missing out on ordinals. But then if I'm not buying ETH NFTs, I'm like, why am I going to go buy big? So the whole, like, there's so many questions. And of course, I would welcome anyone who's listening to this. If you feel like this, if you want to coach me on why I'm wrong, like, please reach out to me. I don't care. These are thoughts in my head. And I feel like I'm allowed to say them out loud because I don't, like, you know, I want people to also feel like, even like people like us who have been here are also questioning.
No, you have a great perspective. You're not wrong at all. I love hearing what you're saying for sure.
No, but I, like, if someone thinks I'm wrong, please educate me. Like, I feel like that's another thing too.
Well, I mean, from a fighter, someone will say, well, I 40X'd in the last 30 days, you know, like, yeah, like.
But I've spoken to so many people, it's like, oh, like, you know, at the beginning, I was always like, you know, why are people not in the space? Why are people not getting it? Why are people not buying? Why are people not here? And for a lot of people, let's be real, they don't want to spend all this time. They're like Netflix and chilling right now. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to go study a white paper. They're not going to go understand what's going on. You know, they're not going to understand the intricacies. You know what I mean? So if people are not there yet, who am I to now, like, come in and force all these things? So there are so many, like, again, layers to all of this. So that's why I'm just questioning the entire thing. But kudos to everyone jumping out on ordinals. I'm just going to buy Bitcoin.
Long term, it's probably going to look the best. We had PO on. We just dropped his episode, and he was like guaranteeing $1 million Bitcoin in 2032 or something.
Yeah, and he sold Bitcoin too. It's funny because a lot of us changed. Because I was so Ethereum, and I've changed. Yeah,
no doubt. So let's see what else we have on this list. You saw Garga is back as CEO of Yuga. Of you,
well, so the CEO of Yuga. So many thoughts.
Oh, beautiful. Let's hear what's going on. What are your thoughts?
So I was super, I'm excited. Like, I'm not in the Yuga ecosystem, but I could feel like something was missing, right? Perspective, something was up. I know a lot of people are probably associating him coming back after the whole Moonbirds acquisition. I don't know how you feel about that. Because you're in the ecosystem. Do you get, like, I don't know, insider stuff about, like, what's going
on? No, I don't necessarily get insider stuff. I mean, I'm not going to toot my horn. I'm in some nice chat groups. I hear some whisper. No, I'm joking. But so I don't know how exactly it went down. But if you remember Saturday night, they had that Apes thing in the Discord that Daniel led. And Daniel was there trying to, you know, do everything. And then like 3 days later, Garg is like, I'm taking back over. I don't think they liked that. Like, I don't think it was planned. I think he was like, I think they needed, they made a change like pretty quickly because the vibe wasn't there for a long time. I said, I remember. Yeah, that was, I don't think that was planned. Cause literally Daniel spoke to 725 apes in the Discord a few days before that, like led the whole thing.
It's interesting. So it's interesting to me because I always look at this, like, I'm kind of like Steve NFT Bark in this sense. I'm like, okay, so what's the PR move here? Like, what went down? You know, like, what's the behind the scenes looking like?
Yeah.
I'm happy for everyone because it's like, obviously, I'm like, you know, we're still missing Gordon, but we have Garga. So that's great. You know,
right.
It's great to have like one of the founders at least, you know? And I think that's what keeps this community so tight, like, just in general, like the whole crypto space. Like, I feel like, if all of the founders would leave and people would get bought off, it wouldn't be the same. We need like founders in here. So it's great to have Garga back. I don't know how Daniel was, but you know, I want to ask you this question, Michael, because someone had asked me this question a few weeks ago and they were like, no, you're wrong. And I was like, that's the vibe I got from Yuga. So they asked me, because I want to hear your perspective because you own assets, you're in it and whatever.
No doubt.
I don't own anything. Because I also want to talk about like the whole Moonbirds acquisition. So the question was, how would you like describe what Yuga Labs is? Like, what is it that they're trying to like build?
Sure. So Yuga Labs, what like they Bored became.
Yeah.
No, I got you. I mean, Bored Ape started in May of 2021. Bored Apes was like any of these other kind of degen NFT projects, and it caught lightning in a bottle. It became the project to have, and then celebrities started buying it. And then the floor price started to go crazy. And then like they started to get taken notice of, and then they raised a bunch of money from VCs, and they raised hundreds of millions of dollars. And then they raised, I think, another couple hundred million dollars on the other side. So, I mean, they're sitting pretty. They were valued at $4 billion. And how do we start making money now? We have to build a game, you know, and they have to build a bunch of games. They built a bunch of games. They built Heavy Metal. They built Legends of the Mara. They built Dookie Dash. They're trying to build Other Side, which they had to scrap and rescrap. I think that they got so big. And there was so much pressure on them to make money. The only way we can make money is to become Fortnite. Like, the only companies that make that much money are Disney, Fortnite. Like, we got to do that. And that's really hard. You can't just manufacture that out of nothing. And Daniel, when he first joined, he did an interview with Carly from Overpriced JPEGs. And I watched that. And that was a while back. I don't even remember when he came, over the summer maybe. And I was like, he seemed like a brilliant guy. I'm sure he's amazing. He was with Google and everything he's done, but it just didn't seem like the vibe. And
for
the
gaming,
space,
you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, for NFTs, for Yuga, for Bored Apes. And, you know, they did so much. Like, the fact that people are complaining. And I mean, I guess if you bought a Bored Ape at 400,000 and didn't get the airdrop, you know, like, complain, but like anybody that minted or anything. Now, they are right to go back to the vibes. And it's actually cool that now there's an LLC, Just Bored Ape, BAYC LLC. So hopefully they can do something, you know, the clubhouse we're looking for.
Okay. So wait. So so my answer. So they asked me this. So like, you know, in your head, how would you describe like Yuga Labs, Bored Ape?
Yeah.
I said, well,
yeah. I was a little long-winded there.
But. No. But so you kind of, anyway, so I say, well, for me, it was like a club, like a private club where only those who owned an ape have access to this community, yada, yada, yada. They were like, you're wrong. It's a gaming company. And I was shook. I was like, gaming? I was like, yeah, they're trying to build a game. But I'm like, I don't think that they're a gaming company. But you said gaming too, so I guess I lost.
I think they were not forced into it. Like, I don't think Gordon and Garga came into this being like, I would love to make a game.
Me
like,
too.
That was Yeah. But I think that that's the only way to make that much money. Yeah. Or make a movie or something, like, but a game, like a game that into it, like games turn into movies. Like that's what these, you know, A16Z who invested in every single thing that has happened in Web3, literally every marketplace, every protocol, everybody that raised A16Z, and they're not the only one. I'm not just calling them out like there's something wrong with them. But like you see all the same names, like, I don't know. I think they made so much money. They had to kind of turn into it. They forgot about the club. They forgot about the vibe.
So that's my main. So someone, when Moonbirds, when they acquired Moonbirds, like someone in the same thought, they were like, what do you make of like this Moonbirds acquisition? And I said it, I was like, look, people are not going to like my answer. I thought it was a weird move. For me, it came very weird in the sense of Moonbirds and Kevin Rose were in such like hot water. The community was so upset with them, so hurt by the whole thing. Nobody wanted to buy them.
I know.
You know, or they didn't like the offers or whatever that was. But like all the trolling on social of like people wanting to buy Moonbirds. That for me, I just felt like I wish they didn't give Kevin Rose. I wish they didn't buy it off.
That's what I said. It almost like legitimized Kevin Rose a little bit. That's what a lot of people said. We actually did an amazing episode when that happened with Riggs and Jesse Bryan.
Yeah. What did they have to say? They liked it. They're happy.
A lot of stuff. I mean, Riggs listed all his Moonbird assets, his all his proof assets, and he was ready to sell. But the bottom line really is it was a no brainer move for Yuga. Because they got the proof treasury, which was like tens of millions of dollars. We don't know the exact number, but they didn't have to give up any money. They only gave up stock to Kevin Rose. So it was really kind of a no brainer. They got the IP if they want it. They got the community. They got the team that everybody keeps talking about. So that team comes over if they want them, which the team didn't really end up getting much done, but.
So look, even like since Yuga's been acquiring a bunch of different projects.
Yeah. It's not going to be it's not going to be the last one that the last company or project they acquire.
No, but I also feel like they need to sit down and figure out what the hell they're doing. Cause for me, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Yeah.
That I'm also like, I'm going to ask you this other question. Yeah. So are you saying that I should probably buy an Oddities for super cheap and get into the system?
Well,
is that the play?
There's a lot of Yuga. To be honest with you, I don't know what Yuga is going to do to bring value to all of their assets.
So this is my worry. That's
exactly. I'm not sure. Yeah. No, I'm not.
Because everyone's like gaming. I'm like, okay, so is the bird going to be like an asset of the eight?
And then what? Are you going to play? Are you going to play? Like,
no, I'm not going to play.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like. Are you going to fly around as your little pixelated oddity bird? I mean,
like, so that's my only, and again, I'm not like, there's no FUD here. I have so many ape friends.
Same here, man. Yeah,
I'm literally like, what's the game? Like, what's the end goal right now? Because I just feel like they've acquired a bunch of different projects, but I'm not seeing like the, it's not cohesive. I don't know. It's just like,
well, it's not. I'm not sure. To be honest with you, I don't think they know. Because they did Heavy Metal and it fell flat. Nobody cares about it. They did Legends of the Mara, fell flat. Just recently, they did a mint of gaming assets on the mainnet. Gaming assets that are going to sell for like $1 each in the secondary. Like, really silly mistake that anybody, like that one, I was like, that was a real one that I'm like, who's making decisions? That, like, so. I don't know. I really don't know how it's going to turn out for them, how they're going to drive value. There's a lot of stuff. There's 10 KTF PFPs coming.
They have so much with them, so I'm just not sure.
Right.
But anyway, when I saw the Moonbirds acquisition, I just remember feeling like, who's doing this? Who's buying this stuff? Why?
That was a crazy day. And did you see Stephen Captain did a 6-hour space on a Saturday? It was awesome.
I saw it. I didn't join. I mean, that's why now I'm like, should I see? That's the only problem with NFT I would get is like, well, how do I get into this? system, the U.S.
Yeah, I know. I know. What's the ecosystem? You know, do you have a doodle?
No, I want one.
That's when you might think it just dipped under two. It was up to almost three.
Under two ETH?
Yeah.
Stop.
Let me see. Yeah, it's good. Everything's down. Everything is down over the last few days. Big time. Doodles is, let's see.
Doodles I've been looking at for a really long time.
2.19.
You know, the other thing too, Michael, I just have to say this because I'm just thinking about all my thoughts of like how I used to buy. I also used to buy this one's cuter than that one.
I had to pay a little more for it.
Yeah. And now I'm just what the fort? We're getting the minimum? It might go up
a tiny bit if it's,
rookie versus veteran. Like, I'm just thinking about how I used to buy stuff. This one has purple hair.
Right.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter.
Not even a little bit.
Do you remember when we used to look at traits?
Of course.
With the laser eyes.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about it.
I know. We shouldn't talk about it. I'm laughing. No. It's good that we're laughing about it.
Yeah.
But
it is good.
Thank you for clarifying that stuff with Yuga. Because I also saw mutants went down a lot at some point. And I was telling my husband because he was always like, I want to get a Bored Ape. Now, not so much. But I remember telling him the mutants went down and maybe let's get a mutant. But I am thinking of potentially getting an oddity just because I saw a few people all the time. I got an oddity. I'm in the Yuga.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a Yuga PFP. What's the floor on those right now?
Let's see. Yeah, check.
Moonbird oddities. There's only 6,000 left because they've been getting burned. The floor is 0.629. So relatively cheap. It's still 100 and... I don't know. I'm not doing the math right now.
Yeah. But okay. It's not that bad. I mean, we'll buy something right now because it's cheap. Maybe that would be my little bargain.
Yeah. It's almost $200.
Yeah. It's not that bad.
No. I actually burned mine. I did have one of those a while back that honestly, I think I paid 0.75 for.
It's so crazy because even when Moonbirds came out, do you remember? It was what is this? What is this pixelated owl?
I know.
People freak.
It went up to 30 some ETH for Moonbirds. Moonbirds went crazy.
Oh my God. That's another thing too, Michael. I would, if one of my assets were to go up, I would sell it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be attached to it anymore. Again, it's you have to, one of the best maybe piece of advice I could ever give is get in the space. Buy a few things, learn, figure it out, because you need to do it. I just remember entering the space and I was like, I got to buy an NFT. My husband was like, at the time, was like, NFTs are a scam. They're all going to zero. Just buy Bitcoin. I was like, no, everyone's buying NFTs. So I bought NFTs because I was like, I want to figure out minting. And today, I'd be like, I got to buy the purple one, this and that, all these ideas in my head. And today it's so different. But unless you don't try it out yourself, you won't know.
Facts. You do need to mess with it. You do need to learn, because what'll happen is when something comes up that you really do want, you think you can make money, you'll know how to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You'll be ready to go.
I have to say though, Doodles has always been on my radar. I've just I didn't even, so look, as much as I love Doodles, I never even did the Doodles 2 where you could I never even did that. Because I was never did it. So
Doodles is the one that if you ask a whole bunch of people which one they think has a chance to really pop, a lot of people say Doodles.
A lot of people say Doodles. Yeah.
They do. Because Doodles isn't the one speculating with all these airdrops. So they haven't, you know what I mean? But they're still all the stuff they're doing, and with Pharrell, they seem like they are building. Julian is really smart and really dedicated.
Yeah.
For sure. I think they have a good, Julian's a really good CEO for them, I think.
Yeah, no, I think they have a good team as well. And their parties have been so fun too.
Yeah, their activations are great. They do really cool in real life stuff. Yeah.
That's true too. I mean, at least they're doing activations. Not everyone does an activation. Yeah. I'll think about it.
Think about it. All right, what else we got on our list here? Let's see. Oh, this was fun. I didn't think this, you asked me about it. I didn't think this would come up in my search today, but apparently RFK Jr. spoke at ETH Denver, which I guess was a thing. I didn't even know that until I read that the DNC created dynamic NFTs for people to claim with QR codes at ETH Denver. Now, while he was speaking, changed to like talk about all the people that donated to him that they don't like and stuff. I thought that was kind of interesting and pretty hilarious.
If you look at the NFT,
yes,
you see Donald Trump like creeping out behind him. And what I was reading too is that they're trying to show, the NFT is trying to highlight how RFK Jr. is actually getting funding from the same people that funded Trump. So like the NFT changed. Anyways, it's a little crazy. Yeah. I don't know how US politics, like y'all are crazy with your politicians, but
yeah,
that's crazy.
Are you not? You're in Canada. That's right. We are crazy with our politicians. Yes. Does the DNC want us to start looking into who's funding them? Like Epstein and Sam Bankman-Fried. You know what I mean? Are there going to be that kind of game? I don't think anybody's getting funded by the greatest people.
Well, exactly. And I think they were trying to prove that. So here it says here, it will be a massive reveal. Kennedy will Donald Trump over his shoulder to highlight how Kennedy's candidacy is primarily funded by Timothy Mellon, Trump's largest donor cycle.
It didn't say what blockchain it was on, did it? What they choose to. I know. I'm the one that came up with the story. You know more than me.
It's ETH. It's ETH. I had to go find it. I was like, I kind of understand what's going on.
I know.
I'm seeing this blockchain Ethereum ERC 721. Yeah.
That's cool. Good for them.
It's a funny, let me send you the link. It's on Manifold.
Yeah, send it to me. I'm like, okay. Oh, is it? They did it on Manifold?
That's what I found.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. No, they probably did. That's pretty cool. I didn't realize that. The DNC.
It's funny because like Trump like creeps out from behind them. I mean, let's just give the props. They're talking about NFTs. They airdrop.
Yeah. Well, no, that's why I wanted to talk. I love seeing like the DNC thinking about an NFT and doing something unique with it. No matter what you think of it, like that's pretty cool. That's kind of cool.
Yeah,
like, it's an interesting use case. And then now they have these people that have their token that theoretically in the future they can connect to, or they can send them something, or they can offer them something. Hey, you can come to our event because you were at this event, or you want to get this merch or whatever it is. Like, you know, they could all like they have a connection to those people now. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. It's hilarious, too.
It is pretty hilarious. It is pretty hilarious. No, let me see. Are you sending it here in this chat?
Yeah.
All right, let's see. This is good. That is hilarious.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, that's rich. Mid-price free right on Manifold. Is it still going? Buy from secondary 45.7 ETH. Oh, there was only 50 of them, and it was free.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. And the floor is 50 ETH. No, not that anybody's buying it, probably, but that is crazy.
I mean, look, even Donald Trump, you know, had major success with his NFT. So
major success.
Seriously, yeah. He really did. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, regardless of like who you vote for, he is very, very good at what he does. Like, he's just so good at what he does. He can sell anything.
Yeah, he's selling sneakers recently. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wild. Oh, my God. Those sneakers are so cool, though.
I don't know about that, but...
Like, the gold. Like, I feel like you could easily put them on a wall. You know what I mean? Like, you could easily showcase them.
Yeah.
It's funny, though. I'm in Canada. I'm like, this whole Trump thing is funny, you know? It's funny for me.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. It's unbelievable what they're shoving at us with this election coming up.
It is crazy. I know.
It's crazy. You guys, I think you guys have an election too, isn't it?
Yeah, don't worry. We're crazy too. It's a whole other kind of crazy. We're like kind crazy. It's more scary.
Yeah. Oh, my God. All right, let's get away from politics. That's not a great idea. That's not a great idea. There's some game on Solana. I never heard of it, but Mix Mob. On Solana, if anybody is into that, got the licensing for the Star Wars Stormtroopers to use in their games. It's a racing game. Anybody check it out? I was interested in that. I always throw stuff like that out. When there's something in like Web 2, and they get, they're going to be able to create Stormtrooper NFTs. Like, that's pretty neat.
I think that's really cool. Like, even the whole Nickelodeon NFT, I found too bad it didn't do so well because...
That was Recur, right?
Yes. But so many people love this kind of stuff. And it's the reason why I just see gaming with Web3. It's like the best synergy.
Gaming makes so much sense. You have to sell NFTs that... I mean, unless you're just selling art, which is also great.
Yeah.
But if you're just selling digital something to your community and you're a Web3 brand, that's just it's not going to work.
It's not enough anymore. It's not enough anymore.
You need to have a product. You need to have something people want. You need to sell them what they want, and they'll figure out a way to buy it.
Exactly. And not just merch, okay? Not just the merch. Yeah. But I think that this could potentially do well. It's interesting to see, like, just like some game that we both don't know about is like adding on an NFT element, which is great. I think it just makes sense. I see so many kids.
Yeah.
They love to sport what they own digital. Like, they love to showcase that online. So if we could do more of that, I think it could do really well.
Yeah, totally. No, my son, all he wants, I've said this a million times, is Fortnite skins. He wants V-Bucks and all that stuff.
They love it.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be all about it for sure.
And not just any skin, like that specific color of like whatever. Of like it's very specific.
If one of their friends has it, it's like they need that one. Yeah.
Crazy.
And there'll be limited edition ones. Like, it all, it makes so much sense. And if you're in the game early, you should get the limited ones early on, and they'll be worth money, hopefully. It really makes a lot of sense for gaming.
Yeah, I see it.
Yeah. Jenny's favorite game, Gods Unchained, you know, that's one of the blockchain games she plays. It came out with a mobile app with NFTs.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Everything keeps coming. Like, I'm having a lot of these conversations with people. All the big banks are implementing blockchain. Every brand is doing something with blockchain. It really is coming. It's coming slow. I mean, even at the beginning, Gary Vee told us in 10 years, everybody will have a digital wallet. We thought it would happen a little quicker. It's taking its time, but this blockchain technology,
people are slow. Everyone... You know what I realized too, like even after COVID, like after the pandemic, I don't know if I could say these words.
Yeah.
It takes a long time for people to change. Like, just like we've been doing something for 4 years, people are still like, no, I don't get it. What are the rules? Like, you know, like
it takes a while, then it happens fast.
It takes a while. It takes a while. And like we said before, there's been so much. Like, I don't know if it's like stigma, but like the minute you say crypto, it's like you said the devil's name, like you said Voldemort. Like, I don't know. Like, it just like people just associate it with like money laundering.
And even worse, NFTs. Like, a normal person hears the word NFT. Yeah.
Forget it. It's like NFT is like the devil. I know.
It really is.
So we have to just, like, I always say, you know what? I owe it to myself. I'm here early. I'm learning. Now I want to help educate whoever wants to learn, because then there's this whole element of me feeling like I'm convincing people, like, buy this, like, get on this train.
Right.
And now it's just like, you know what? I'm just going to keep talking about it. So if in 5 years, when you're ready, hopefully you remember to call me, and then we could have this conversation. Because right now too, like, right, you go, like, we see all the memes. You go to Thanksgiving dinner, everyone's laughing at you, or they're not interested, or they roll their eyes, or like, oh, that stuff again. Oh, you know, like, so in order to get over that, because it could be very isolating, right? Like, I could just imagine, like, at least my partner's into this stuff. So we talk about it.
Yep.
If you're alone at home on the web, and then you go out, you see your friends and nobody cares, it could be very isolating. So it's important for people to just remain patient, even though I have no patience. But remain patient, because they're coming. And it's been very gratifying when we get those messages like, hey, did you see Bitcoin? It reached like 60K. And like, I'm smiling now because I'm just like, the dialogue is starting. And it's not because I called them, they called me. So got to see the positives when they come.
Heck yeah.
I mean, do you get a hard time? Do you still get a hard time? Like, or all your friends are in crypto? Because, like, my friends are not in crypto.
No, a lot of mine are not. A lot of mine are a few, like, my Penn State friends are actually in, like, kind of traditional finance, a lot of them. And they know about, like, they talk about, we have this certain allocation, and I think this. And here's my projection. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, the big talk. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah, big exactly.
But they're not buying anything, are they?
I don't ask particularly, you know.
But it doesn't sound like they're, like, I know my friends are not.
Yeah.
They're not like we are.
Not definitely not buying any kind of weird altcoins. They might, like, we invested in some chain, like some other, like, whatever, but, like, they're not, like, buying Pepe.
No, you know what I always get?
Mog token or whatever.
No, you know what I always get? Like, what about that Shiba stuff? I'm like, yeah. I have everything, like, Shiba, right. Like, that. But it's crazy to see how, like, the general population, like, they'll say Shiba before Ethereum or, like, before Bitcoin. They'll always go, like, Shiba or, like, I get XRP a lot. But yeah, it's interesting to see that Shiba, like, started as a meme coin, but, like, normies know about Shiba more than they would know about, like, Ethereum or Bitcoin. It's interesting. I don't know.
That is weird. And one of my friends always talks about Litecoin all the time.
Litecoin's another big one. Yeah. What about Litecoin?
And I'm like, I gotta be honest, I never heard one person on Twitter or anywhere mention Litecoin.
I know. It's so weird. But
so many different circles of people. And
I think that's the thing too, is like there's so many different circles. So it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard to be everywhere. Sometimes I do find like, I feel like I'm lucky in the sense where I started with ETH and NFTs. Like I just understood that I could be part of some community because I felt this in the last, especially during the whole lockdown situation. I just felt like people needed communities again. You know, like those Facebook groups we all used to be in. I felt like we needed that again on social. So to get into like NFTs and like community and there's cool art, but there's actually this tech and like all this kind of stuff. So now see the way I'm buying now, to see the way now I'm like, okay, but Bitcoin might actually be like the safest bet, you know? It's so funny. The first time I went to VCon, these young guys that I had just met were like, Bitcoin's the grandpa coin. I don't care about Bitcoin. And like today I'm buying Bitcoin, you know? And it's like fun to like, and so again, it's like, it's interesting to see the evolution that we're having.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting to see how the general like what's going to get them in. That's what I can't wait to see.
Yeah. I think it's going to be things that don't even feel crypto, but that utilize blockchain technology.
Like,
so there's going to be fan. I mean, Starbucks Odyssey is a great one.
Yeah.
They're doing awesome. They're doing amazing things. They got great engagement. They 6,000 people completed their latest challenge.
It's awesome.
Like, yeah, for sure. Like things like that is going to get people in. Things that make sense to do, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Starbucks is a good one, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Starbucks is a really good one.
We don't have it in Canada, so I actually can't participate. It sucks, but I hope I'm the first one in line. I know.
Yeah.
I know. Because like, let's say even if I tried with a VPN, like I can't, I just cannot. So it sucks.
That's a shame. Yep.
I know. I'm like, oh, my friends are in Odyssey. And yep.
I actually got in super early, but I don't know. I have a hard time keeping up on different things.
But that's what we're talking about. It's too hard.
It is.
That's where my mind is almost like you just said. It's like, well, if I'm vibing with Doodles or I actually like them, I've seen them grow, I still want to be with them, then maybe that makes more sense. Than just buying something that I'm going to mint, hoping it moons it. You know what I mean?
That's why Starbucks working, something like Starbucks. I'm actually working with Ohio State and doing something a little bit similar to that, taking a lot of their things because this is things that people already do. You don't need to like grow an allegiance to Doodles. You already love Starbucks.
Exactly.
You already love your school, your football team. It's already there. Someone just needs to galvanize it.
That's exactly it. That's how I always looked at NFTs. It's like, if you have this community, here's your chance of, that's why
here's
I always
your chance talk, to supercharge it. Right.
Yes.
Here's your chance to supercharge it.
That's why I see, like, I'm actually surprised that music has not popped off yet. Like, I'm actually, music is, I thought it was next. I saw Taylor Swift. I didn't see her. I mean, the whole Ticketmaster scandal. I mean, this is the perfect time, and it hasn't happened yet. So it can also be a bunch of lobbies, though, now that I think about
it. Well, that's Live Nation. If you're talking about tickets, like music NFTs is one thing, but ticketing is a whole other thing.
Well, both. Ticketing right. And then music NFTs. Meaning,
so like, Live Nation, I was a ticket broker for 17 years before NFTs. So that's like that was my profession forever. I thought I was always going to be a ticket broker. Live Nation looked into NFTs a lot, and they've actually produced a ton of commemorative NFTs, like millions of them on Polygon. And they chose Flow to start doing their ticketing NFTs. And this was like a year ago, but they've kind of started to put the kibosh on it. Live Nation, the way it works, the Live Nation and Ticketmaster merged like 15 years ago, maybe. And Live Nation owns all the venues, and Ticketmaster obviously, sells the tickets. So they pretty much became a monopoly, and they have no reason to do anything that's transparent. The blockchain.
Yeah, exactly. It's true.
Yeah. Because they send tickets out the back door. They drop tickets the day of the show, but all that you'd be able to see on the blockchain. And that's what they don't. There's no reason for them to do that. Yeah.
It's just annoying because let's say I'm a fan of this artist. If I owned this artist's NFT, in my head, it would be like, well, you get first dibs on buying tickets. Like, that's how I would see it. But they don't want that. And that we get.
Well, Avenged Sevenfold did do that. And they did a really nice job with it. I haven't kept up with what they've done, but I know that their holders were able to buy face value VIP front row, second row, third row tickets, which was great. That's what you do. Your earliest fans get to come to your shows and sit up front for the cheap price.
Yeah.
Game over. Game over. Like, but Live Nation doesn't want it. They don't want it.
Yeah. But I'm still, that's the one thing I thought we were going to see by the end of 2023 and then it happened.
Eventually we will. Cause what they are going to realize is they don't have to fight the ticket brokers anymore. Cause now you can collect royalties. When before, have your own marketplace, we'll sell it on there, have your 3-4% royalty. And instead of being mad at StubHub and Vivid, just collect your royalties and make your money that way.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I know.
And then the market will take care of itself. But, old money, they're entrenched. There's no reason to change. That's why the video games aren't changing fast, because I'm sure their economic model is great right now. When they need to, they will. But for now, they're like, we're making so much money. Why are we going to, PR hit and all that stuff? And
yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else should we get into? You wanted to talk about the spaces adding video. What's your thought on that? You're excited about that.
Well, I mean, yes and no.
Now you got to get on video. Now you got to get on video.
Well, you know what? So obviously they rolled it out. So we'll give Elon some more time to make it better.
Okay.
But it's a bit wonky. I don't know if you've checked it, if you looked at it at
all. I've watched some people. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit, and only the host could do video, which is interesting. Like, it's okay, especially if you have a huge room. And I think the last thing you want is if someone comes up and God knows what they could show you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't really monitor that. So that's okay.
Oh, yeah. It should allow everybody video. It's on your stage.
It should allow everyone video. My only thing is, and this is what I noticed when I first entered the space, I don't know if crypto people want to be on video. It's always hard. It's hard to convince, even on my video podcast, it's hard to get people to come on and get on camera and be interesting on a camera. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I also haven't seen everyone use it. So I don't know if it's because they want to wait and see if it gets better or if it's because they're just not going to do it.
Yeah, I mean, people are probably used to what they're used to, and it'll be interesting to see who starts using it. I mean, I noticed even 6 months ago, Rug Radio went video, Nifty went video, Nifty Portal Show, they went video. But I don't think those weren't like the Twitter video, right?
No, I think they were just streaming.
This is brand new now. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right.
This is like, I don't know if I have a picture on my phone, but it's in the space. There's a video. So you as the host are talking and everyone else is just watching you.
And you can, oh, wow. That is kind of awkward.
Kind of. Yeah. Like it's not as.
You can probably share your screen and stuff too.
No, I don't think you can. Yeah. Who was on? It was Fanzo that was trying it out. Oh, yeah, here it is. Looks like this.
That's cool looking. I mean, the person sits there and talks. I mean, you know, I think social audio is, I mean, it's also really only three and a half years old. And I think that's kind of revolutionary. I think social audio in and of itself is revolutionary. And I guess it's going to go to where everyone's on video. And then eventually it's going to go to where we're all feel like we're in the same room because we all have these glasses on. That's where it's going.
The metaverse is crazy. Right. I've been playing with it a bit and it's a bit, it's wild. I still get a little like seasick, not seasick, but like nauseous.
Yeah.
When I get out of it, because I'm like, oh, okay.
What are you wearing? Do you have the Apple or the?
No, I don't have the Apple. The Meta Quest 2.
Those seem to be just as good, pretty much. That's what everyone's saying.
It's decent.
Yeah.
The only thing I find right now, like, because I tried doing like a podcast in the metaverse, you can't record. It's not there yet. I could just like take a screenshot of me.
It's so early. It's so early with the technology. So early.
But I'm excited for that. I feel like I should try the live video in spaces. As a creator,
I mean, you'd be really good at it. You'd be really good at it. But
it's hard to spend 3 hours on a space and then not be able to go put it on like YouTube. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's the
and then commit to that all the time. If you only do it once every 2 weeks, nobody shows up. Right.
Yeah. Like how's the podcast going? Because first of all, I forgot to congratulate you at the beginning, but over 200 episodes, that's insane. Like I told Steven and Cap, like to be able to do that on a weekly, it's
those guys are nuts, dude. Those guys, 500 those guys some are nuts. Every day, three that's hours. Nuts. Like that's it nuts. Is. I know.
I've been talking to a few people.
It's
like
paying off though. They're all doing really well. Steve just got hired by Doodles.
Yeah,
like,
that's awesome. But that's the only thing about spaces for me right now is that, because I want to utilize video and then chop it up, I don't see the benefit in going there. But I do want to play with it a bit more. Now that there's the video, it could be interesting. Maybe do something shorter, less scripted, so to speak. You know,
yeah. I mean, you could almost, I don't even know what you would do. Like, you could almost just play your video, like, do your video, create your content, and then just play it onto there.
Like, just have crazy faces all the time. I could do that. Oh my God. That actually could be good. It's so funny because I stopped doing those like 60 second recaps because it was taking a lot of my time and work.
I know. It takes a lot of time.
Yeah. And you know, maybe if I got a sponsor and I would do it more, but it was great. It was so fun to do. And it kept me like accountable of like what's going on. But maybe I could like go live and do it.
You could.
I could probably do it. Like just go googly eyes. But I do miss it. It was fun to do. It was fun to do. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see where life takes me with the live. Would you ever go on Spaces and show your face?
I mean, I don't have any problem doing that, showing my face. I'm completely doxxed or anything like that. You know, for some reason, I don't typically go up on stages and speak in spaces. I listen to a lot of spaces. I think I talk enough on here. People hear me talk enough. And I'm in meetings all the time. So
and
I don't
that's
know.
What happens. Like, and I feel like that's me too. So at the very beginning, I was always like, let me get on the space and let me give my.
Right.
And then it would like take forever.
Yeah, I'll get five more followers if I'm up on the stage. You know, right.
And now I'm also, I use it as like a radio show. Like I'm just like listening in the background. And
that's
I'm
exactly what it is. And working and listening in the background. Yep.
Exactly. Yep. So that's where I'm at. But I'm curious to see how Elon's going to take this app. People are still asking me, is it Twitter? Is it X? How do you call it? I'm like, I'm still saying Twitter. Like,
yeah.
I'm trying to say X, but I'm like, X is not a thing, Elon. Like, I'm still saying I'm tweeting. I'm not posting. Yeah, I'm tweeting. Yeah,
right. Is that what they want you to say, posting?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't want us to say we're tweeting. Elon's telling us what to say. I don't know. I know. Like, I don't know.
Why does he get so funny, dude?
I like him.
Yeah, you know, no, I like Elon, too. No,
a lot of people don't like him, but definitely. I'm like, I truly think that he wants Earth to be great. Like, you know, I really do feel that about him. Although yeah, he's
done,
like,
I mean, he's done amazing things. You know, I don't know. I don't know the whole story, but there's hit pieces in the news all the time about him. So that's why people don't like him.
Yeah, you know? I mean, like they're looking for stuff. They're fishing. Right. So exactly. They're just gonna get whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything he says, like, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like people that aren't afraid to say what they want to say, even if they know it's going to cause a headline because they feel like it's the truth. Like, I like that. I respect that.
I feel like we need that more.
Of course we do.
I feel like we've been silenced a lot. So yeah.
Culture and all that.
The whole thing is cancel culture. Yeah. So
right.
I'm hoping we get that more. And even in this space, like, I feel like I want more people to come up and say, you know what, I was in this, or I didn't like it, or this happened.
Yeah.
You know,
like, I think this guy's a scammer. Like, what?
Yeah. You know, like, I just think we should be talking more about it. Cause I think right now it's all like, we all love each other and it's like still Wagney vibes, but there's still a lot of crap that goes down. So
I see crap all the time. I saw something today from a really respected, person in the space. I don't even want to say, you know, like it was some project and he was like talking about how great he thinks it is and it's on a bonding curve. I want to be like, how much did you get yours for? Probably half the price they're selling for now. Like, it was just, I don't know. And it was a really respected person and I didn't like the look of it, but
that's the thing is like, you have to be careful. Not everyone's your friend here, but also, you know, I feel like we need more people to say what's on their mind. So yeah, let's see what happens. I don't know. I'm excited.
Hell yeah. All right. I'm going to pull up Crypto Slam. We usually finish off our weekly recaps with the top 10 stats. I haven't looked at it yet. So let's see what it is. We'll run through it quick. I appreciate you giving the extra time tonight. This has been really fun. It's always great chatting up with you, but this was really cool. So let's see what's going on. 7 days. NFT collectible sales by volume. Number one is uncategorized ordinals. And number two is Node Monkeys. So I would have assumed the uncategorized ordinal, I guess, is like, it's so weird looking at these. Like, wait to hear one of the other ones. But uncategorized ordinals, I guess, is a whole bunch of the other ones. I don't know why Node Monkeys is separate, but Node Monkeys alone did 41 million in sales last week, which is wild. Yep. We have Creeps, which they went crazy on ETH. I don't know if you heard that. They went, that was because of token too, is the reason that went up. Crypto Punks, Pudgy Penguins, D Market Mythos, which is Contra Strike Go, CSGO, the video game. They've been doing really well. We see them a lot on here. Something called Parcel HOA on Solana is number 9. The Fraganas, number 10. We have the Tensorians, Bored Ape Yacht Club down at 14 behind all these other projects.
Wow.
It used to be, we've done this for 2.5 years now, and it used to be Yuga would be like 4 out of the top 5 things all the time. And now it's just, you know, it's fun watching it switch up.
Well, I've said this too. I said, you know, it's fun to see new people take the stage, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Node Monkeys, I'm going to forever be upset that I didn't get some Node Monkeys. I would have been right all over. That's the one. That's a shame. But live and learn. Girl in the Verse, it is always great to hang with you.
So great.
Thanks for coming on. Short notice. Filling in for Jenny. I couldn't have asked for a better counterpart for the episode. I think we'll probably get it out tomorrow, but we'll ask Andy when he comes on after this. But we'll close it out like Jenny typically does. Thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of the NFT Catcher podcast. Peace.
Thank you for tuning in to the NFT Catcher Podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's episode and learned something new about the exciting world of NFTs. If you enjoyed today's episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And if you really love what you're hearing, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite platform. If you want to stay up to date with the latest news and insights from the NFT space, be sure to follow us on all the socials at NFT Catcher Pod. You can follow Jennifer at Jennifer_Sudo and Michael at NFTicket. I'm your producer, Andy, and I'm at AJC254. Our theme song's by It's Just Los. We always appreciate your feedback and support, which helps us reach more people and bring you informative and engaging content about NFTs. We look forward to bringing you more great NFT content in future episodes. Thanks for listening. Peace.